So who is ready for the big game on Sunday? As Loro and friends inside the NFL previews Super Bowl 51 between the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which starts right now. Hello, everyone. Loro here. Welcome, everybody, to the to a special edition of Loro and Friends Inside the NFL. This is Super Bowl 55 edition. Just we want to get that out there just to let our listeners and viewers know. With me today, welcome back, Ben Kirst, after he took a week off last week because of the Pro Bowl. Vince did a good job filling in for him last week. So, Ben, how's it going?
It's going great, and
I can't wait for Super Bowl 55, but we all know who we're rooting for, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. So, with that being said, let's start off with talking about Super Bowl 55 as Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So, the storylines is, will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pull off a major upset to the up-and-coming Kansas City Chiefs team that is favored to win the Super Bowl yet again?
Well, I don't know if it's really a clear favorite in this game per se. I think both teams, you know, if you look at it, of course, the defending champs, you got the Chiefs, but and obviously, Tom Brady, you know, the greatest to ever play the game, is one of my favorite quarterbacks to ever. Being on a non-Patriot type team is pretty surreal, no matter what way, how you put it, for this 10th career Super Bowl now. And the Bucs are playing great football at the right time. I think the biggest thing is to make sure that in order to beat this Kansas City type Chiefs team with a great quarterback that I really like in Patrick Mahomes, my favorite quarterbacks to watch, and got the chance to watch him play live against Brady in the past. But, you know, it all comes down to really execution. These two teams have had a couple weeks off, and I think that, you know, between, you know, game plan and reporters talking about it, it's all about Super Bowl week is great. But once you start getting into Saturday and, you know, the morning of Sunday for the Super Bowl, it's all business for both teams. And I think that in order for the Buccaneers to win this game, is they're going to have to play very they can't be turning the ball over. They have to play as mistaken-free football as possible. Now, one thing that the Bucs have in favor is two of their offensive tackles for the Chiefs, Eric Fisher, Mitchell Schwartz. Schwartz has been out for a while, but Fisher got hurt last week against Buffalo. Two really great really good offensive tackles from Mahomes. They're out in this game. And then Kilgore, who is the backup center, tested positive for COVID-19. It looks like he's going to be able to play because They figured that he tested negative for a couple of days, but I think that the Bucks defensive line, JPP, Sue, I think this, the linebackers I really like right now playing Devin White, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett. So I think that they could really take that to their advantage. I don't want, if you're the Bucks, to rush Mahomes because of how durable he is. I think you just have to just do what you can to kind of spy on him as possible. He's going to do his rollout. He's going to make his plays, but I think it's big and key to kind of see where he's kind of going with the football. And the defense, the secondary is huge. And the week 12 or 13, whatever the game they played in at Tampa, it just was way too easy for what Mahomes was doing. I think the defense from that point has been a lot better, though. I think that they've changed up at least some things, but I think it's going to come down to offensively how Brady and the Bucs offense does. I think the running game's huge. I think Fournette's been really good the last couple weeks. Ronald Jones should be big in the game as well. But use guys like Scotty Miller, Antonio Brown. I think the Chiefs defense did a really good job last week. I know we didn't really talk about the AFC and NFC title games as much as probably we wanted to, but we saw what the Chiefs defense did against Buffalo. And I think that they're going to try to do what they could against Tampa Bay. Tampa did score 24 points. There's kind of two scores are kind of too little too late. But I think Brady has known what the Chiefs have kind of done at this point because he's played them for quite a while in matchups in the past, that I could see Tom having a very good game, but I could see a mistake here.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, I think, potentially I being think the both difference teams at the are going to be in for a fantastic football game on Sunday. Can't wait to watch that. But at the same time, I can't wait for I can't wait to see what Tom Brady could do in the Super Bowl yet again. But also, Robert Kraft, our owner of the Patriots, said that I really hope he wins Sunday, because Robert Kraft is rooting for Tampa Bay because of Brady. Because you knew that the Patriots front office made a huge mistake in not paying Tom Brady this past offseason.
Well, I mean, you could say this, you could say that, you know, about the Patriots, but at the end of the day, right? And I've kind of sent a lot of people to this. He gave us arguably two great decades, and he's mentioned this, Brady, in the past when reporters have asked. He's given us basically two decades of just pure glory and dominance. And, you know, I think that, like he said, his journey took him somewhere else. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things, you know, in your life that, if you want to do it for so long, you obviously cherish the moments. And I think that, you know, for him to kind of be where he is in his life and his career, you look at a guy like Peyton Manning, you look at a guy like Joe Montana. Those guys have both played on two different type of teams. And at the end of the day, when they retire, you know, they usually talk about, you know, the memories that they've had for all the franchises, all the teams, you know, college and stuff like that. And I think Brady's going to be the exact same type of quarterback. So, yes, you know, you could say, you know, they didn't pay Tom and stuff like that. Maybe they thought that he was kind of all done earlier on. But I'm very interested to see what, you know, Belichick is going to – I wonder if Bill is going to be there. I just kind of wonder what he's gonna, it's going to be in his head right now. I personally think he's going to root for Tom and for him to do well, because him and, you know, Thomas was saying kind of this week, and all these people are saying, oh, you know, Belichick's kind of let him out to dry. You know, maybe Tom doesn't have all the feelings for him. You know, I mean, Tom kind of this week said, you know, he's been a great mentor, coach. And he said that for so many years about the Patriots. For a team, for him, that's kind of been just stuck in his blood. I just don't think that's going to go away from him, no matter what way you put it. So even though he's on a different team, you know, of course he's going to remember all the great fond memories. And I think when he comes to play the Patriots, when the Bucks come to the Patriots, I think it's going to be one of the most spectacular type of moments for Bill and Brady to kind of be on ends, kind of like as like a little bit of like a chess match. But in the end, I think it's going to be all love, and you know, it's going to be fun to see what the Patriots, the front office, you know, I know Kraft and Tom have been very close, and I think that they want to keep staying close, so when Brady ends up handing it up, that they can still stay in touch and have his jersey retired and have the statue of Tom and Bill, you know, together and stuff. So I think that's kind of, you know, all planned and, you know, down the line. But I think if you're Tom Brady right now, you just focus on what is at stake on Sunday. And, you know, I know much how much of a competitor he is, and we'll see how we can do on the kickoff time, 6:40 on CBS. So it should be a great game, like you said. I think it could be a very big chess match. I was on the phone with a buddy of mine from college just not too long ago before I joined here, and we were kind of talking about what you think about the ins and outs or about the game. And I said, you know, it really could – it's going to be probably a big shootout type of game. You know, both offenses are really scoring a lot of points right now the last couple of weeks, and I don't see that changing. So it could come down to potentially coin flip at the end. It could come down to a missed kick at the end. Who knows? We just don't know. But what we do know is the Buccaneers, even though it's going to be a home game, which I thought this was very, very interesting.
Yeah, you're
they're not
going right. to
shoot the
it's,
cannons
it's
when they score.
I mean, it's a Super Bowl anyway. So my pick to win Super Bowl 55, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a field goal. And my Super Bowl MVP pick, if Tampa Bay wins, will be Tom Brady.
Well, man, I wish I had the same exact type of thinking about you. I'm hoping Tom wins. I hope the Bucs win. But I see the Kansas City Chiefs winning 31-24. I think it's going to be a shootout like you mentioned. But I think it's going to come down to making plays at the end and who might have the ball at the end. And I think, you know, Mahomes is going to have a lot of his guys back. You know, they're very motivated. The way that they played last week or – the game before against Buffalo. You know, I think they're coming with house money, especially with them kind of technically being the away team now with kind of a lot of the fans in Tampa. But I think it just comes down to experience too. I think that plays a huge factor. I think Tampa Bay has some guys that haven't had this experience before, and I'm not sure, you know, if this is an excuse or not, but, you know, experience does matter at the end of the day in terms of big-time games. You know, besides obviously Brady and Gronk, who've been in the Super Bowl several times, you know, guys like Ngamkon Su's been in it. I don't know about Mike Evans. I don't know about Antonio Brown or Godwin and stuff like that. So we will have to see about that. But I do know that both teams will score a lot of points. My MVP is going to be Travis Kelce. I think that Travis Kelce doesn't get a whole lot of credit for how dominant of a tight end he is. I'm a huge Gronk fan. I always will be. But Travis Kelce just makes so much impact in terms of what the Chiefs do. And I think that he's going to be a huge type of factor in this game because I think Tyreek Hill is going to be shut down as much as he can because the Bucs do remember that he absolutely torched them. Now, he will make his plays because he's just that explosive and he's just that good. But I think they're going to try to do what they can to make him as serviceable, not just take the game over on its own like it was in the past. So give me the Chiefs, 31-24, Kelce the MVP. I know Mahomes probably, if they win, they probably get it because usually they don't give the MVP to anybody else besides quarterback. But I think that, you know, it's going to be a great game between both teams. And honestly, it could really go either way.
All right, if Kansas City wins, my pick for Super Bowl MVP say. Will be Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if Tampa wins, I would probably have to get to Brady. But if it's a defensive player that maybe makes a big play or not, you know, I would for instance, right, you know, Malcolm Butler against Seattle in the Super Bowl. You could argue that he could have won MVP that game because he pretty much won them the game at the end. But as we've talked about, usually the MVP doesn't get brought to any other type of player than a quarterback. Now, Laura, this is also in the Super Bowl. And I know there's not just the game, too, about the Super Bowl that people are looking forward to. What do you think about the Super Bowl halftime show? It's supposed to be the weekend's supposed to be there. And I wanted to kind of know about what your favorite halftime shows for the Super Bowl have been in the past years. My dad has gotten the pleasure to go to many Super Bowls, at least three or four. And he got to watch Tom Petty when the Patriots played the Giants in 14.
Oh, the perfect season one
with
the David Tyree
when they
catch.
Lost, when
that
they
was
were running undefeated. Yeah. Sadly, he was there. But Travis Scott, and I think that was a couple years ago. Shakira and
like
J-Lo
did
one last year.
I listened to their songs.
What do you think about The
Weeknd
this year?
They're very they have a good I think The Weeknd's a good entertainer, but also my favorite halftime shows in the Super Bowl were I liked the Katy Perry halftime show in Super Bowl 49. I liked that. I liked Bruno Mars back. Lady Gaga was great in the Super Bowl 51 halftime show, but I also liked last year's halftime show with Shakira and J-Lo. So what about you? What about you, Ben?
Sorry, yeah, just the signal kind of just cut off. What did you just say at the end?
I was saying that I liked Shakira and J-Lo's halftime show last year. Those are the list of my favorite halftime shows.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a lot of similar ones that you had. So I think this one's going to be good. The Weeknd, I think, will be decent. But yeah,
the only
halftime
show I didn't like was Madonna.
I could have taken or leave that one, but besides
Madonna performed in Super Bowl 46.
So besides the game, the halftime show, of course you got to ask you what are you going to do with food. I just this earlier today, I just actually called up a restaurant to reserve pretty much delivery to get bring pizza and wings for delivery to my house before the game. Do you do like pizza, Wayne's, and chips and stuff? Usually, I've had Super Bowl parties.
Yes, I do pizza, and I do wings. I get it at Shakey's or Papa John's or Pizza Hut because Pizza Hut partners with the National Football League.
Yeah, I've been to Pizza Hut a couple times, but Domino's is also a one that NFL sponsored with too. I've had Domino's in the past, but I was considering maybe going to the store and getting my own stuff, but, at the end of the day, you're going to have to clean up the mess after the game, and, I just don't know if I really wanted to, do it, for this one. I did it for the AFC and NFC title game. It was good. I enjoyed making my wins, but for the Super Bowl, I decided to get stuff from somewhere else, so that should be good. Another thing about the Super Bowl, too, Lower, is – as you said, Robert Goodell did his press conference. I did not get the chance to watch it yet, but what were some takeaways that you got out of that?
What I got from out of that is that he talked about like improving minority hires for head coaches and GMs. He also talked about that. And then he also talked about, I'm just anxious to see, like, I expect the 17 game season to begin. I mean, I expect the 17-game regular season schedule to start next year. I think it will be, but I'm hearing that they have to agree on a new at least a TV contract for one of the networks that televise the National Football League. That's what I got out of that. But he also talked about this season being a collective effort in the with this pandemic played season, and that he said that virtual is going to be part of our new normal now.
Yeah, it's not only the new normal for this football season, but it's just for many things that's going on in our life. I think that, the NFL draft, we could, we'll talk about once the Super Bowl is over, but I did want to ask you a couple questions about the latest with the QB carousel. And of course, we haven't really talked about the Matt Stafford trade. And I know you and Kenny, a couple guys in the group chat, had some comments about that because, of course, you guys like the Rams. So when I got the notification about that, about Stafford, I thought there was some chatter potential here and there that maybe Goff would have left. But I thought Goff and McVay had a pretty close enough relationship that it wouldn't have factored in. And Michael Kay's show, actually, I watched yesterday. Michael Kay's show is the show that's New York-based. They talk a lot, Yankees, Mets, Jets. But they had Aaron Donald yesterday as one of the guests, and Michael Kay asked Aaron Donald what you thought about the trade. And he said he was a little surprised about it, but he's very happy for Stafford in with our team and seeing how much he could help out. He's a good quarterback. But he's also excited for what Jared Goff and the new beginnings he will have in Detroit. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think, how do you feel about the trade? What do you think that Matt Staff could bring to that Rams team? And what do you think Jared Goff could bring to a Lions team that's more in a rebuilding type stage, but he should probably be in their plans for the future?
I think Jared Goff to the Lions, I think he's going to do well in Detroit. I mean, Brad Holmes scouted him. And I think with Matthew Stafford to the Los Angeles Rams, I really think the Rams are still in a win-now mode. They know that their championship window is kind of closing. But I feel like Matthew Stafford gives the Rams the best chance to compete for a Super Bowl title. He did that for Detroit, but Detroit was nowhere near a Super Bowl championship caliber.
Well, the biggest thing is Matt Stafford is going to a very good offensive-minded coach in Sean McDermott. I think that
– Oh, McVay.
McVay, thank you.
Sean McDermott's defensive-minded with Buffalo.
Sorry about that. Sean McVay, offensive-minded coach for the Rams. I think him and McVay are going to have a very good camaraderie together. You know, they have Cooper Kupp on contract for many years. They got Robert Woods still there. So they got the plethora of weapons right there. Tight end, they might let guys like Gerald Everett leave. Maybe a guy like Josh Reynolds at receiver. Two guys, actually, I think the Patriots could have a very good chance at potentially looking at, because I don't think that their contracts would require to get a lot from those two players, and I think they're kind of underrated. But, you know, the Rams have a very good defense. Of course, you got Donald, you got Ramsey. And I really like it. I was just more shocked about the amount given up to get a guy like Stafford. Two first-rounders and I think a third-rounder. So the next 3 years, I don't think that it's either the Rams or the Lions are not going to get many first-round type of picks. So, of course, you're getting a quarterback in a win now, but you don't know how it's going to affect that team, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think the Rams will be good next year, but that's going to be another subject to talk about. We'll talk about our keys to Super Bowl 51 at the end of the show. So let's go to our head coach and front office change. Let's grade those. So let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. And what grade do you give Arthur Smith as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons? I say that's an A- because I really think he's going to rejuvenate Matt Ryan and Julio Jones's career, get them back to their 2016 form. But I feel like Arthur Smith's a great hire for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he's a really good offensive-minded coach, you know, him there in Tennessee. I'd probably give it a B+, A-, like you said, too. I think that, you know, Palliser reported that Ryan and Jones are probably not going to be traded, which I personally thought it was going to be like that moving forward. I think that that he's going to get that Falcons team in a much better place this coming year. And so, yeah, I'd give them at least a B+, A- for that.
Yes, and also, if you look at it, Arthur Smith hired a former face on the New England Patriots, defensive coordinator Dean Pease.
Yeah, that's another guy that
And Dean Pease is a great defensive mind. He is a good defensive coordinator. He came out of retirement. And I think that line of defense will be so much better with Dean Pease.
Oh, I definitely agree, man. I definitely agree.
Because he built great defenses with the Patriots, the Ravens, and now in Tennessee with Vrabel. And then he gets to work with Arthur Smith again, Dean Pease.
Absolutely.
So I'm talking about, like, he's a veteran defensive mind that just knows – how to coach defenses.
Yeah, I think he's a really good coach for them.
Yeah, especially on the defensive side of the ball, man. I mean, I think he's going to call the plays defensively. I didn't think Dan Quinn – he wasn't a fit there, but I think Dan Quinn's going to do a better job in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that hire in just a minute. So let's go to the Detroit Lions. So they hired former – Lions tight end and an assistant head coach for the New Orleans Saints, Dan Campbell. He went 5-7 as an interim coach for the Dolphins, and he was an assistant head coach and tight ends coach of the Saints. I give that a C just because I really think that Dan Campbell is going to turn this Lions team into a solid team.
Yeah, I think that they're still many years away from getting into contention, but I think that they have to start somewhere. And I think Goff is a young enough quarterback that, you know, he's been in a Super Bowl before. I think he's not as bad as what people give him credit for. I think that, you know, for a place like Detroit, there's not a lot of pressure there. You know, a guy like TJ Hockenson, a tight end, the guy that Stafford used a lot. I think him and Goff could have a good relationship. You know, the biggest thing, too, is Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr. I think that they're both going to leave, unfortunately, for Goff because they're both free agents, and I think that they will break the bank somewhere else. But in terms of Campbell, I'd probably give it a solid B. I think that they had to move on from Patricia. I think Patricia at this point is a I think, you know, him going back to New England was very good just to kind of be with the back with Belichick and just kind of assist and stuff with the team for the Patriots. So I think Campbell is a great fit there. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, let's see how that goes. But I think Dan Campbell should be a good – it was a decent hire for the Lions. I don't say it's a great hire just because I think that the Lions could have done better with their head coaching search. But with that being said, let's move on to the Houston Texans. So they hired one of the two minority coaches in the – two minority coaches for this hire. And they got Baltimore Ravens assistant head coach, wide receivers coach, and pass game coordinator, David Culley. And I give that a D and an F just because the Texans just did not do a good job in this search. But let's give David Culley a chance. I really think that from what I heard in this press conference, that David Culley is excited, and I really anxiously want to see how he is going to work with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of awkward the way that the hire happened, you know. You know, we could talk about Deshaun, you know, a little bit maybe today or, you know, next couple weeks leading up to free agency. But I think Culley was a good – yeah, like you said, I think Culley's a good hire for them. You know, it's just all in terms of what quarterback is he going to work with. Is he going to work with Deshaun? You know, Chris Sims from NBC Sports was saying that even if Deshaun – sticks around, he might ask for a holdout until he gets traded. So what would that happen? You know, maybe Sam Darnold could be in the Texan. You know, Tua, they've asked Tua about I don't think Tua's gonna leave, but they've asked Tua about the Deshaun rumors potentially with Miami. He's just thinking about him for next year, which I think is a good mindset. So I think whoever he's with, and preferably it's probably gonna be with Watson, at least for the time being. But I think he's going to be a good coach.
You think David Culley is going to be a great head coach for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he has a lot of experience from his past.
Yes, because he's worked with Andy Reid and also John Harbaugh.
Yep.
So I think Deshaun Watson's going to remain a Houston Texan, but I also expect, I don't know if it's true. I don't think J.J. Watt has confirmed those reports that he wants to be released by the Texans. I expect him to stay as well.
Yeah, I definitely Watt. Think that. Yep.
Like, who's going to want him? I mean, I think that – I don't think he wants to be traded. He asked to get released, but I don't think the Texans would want to do that because Cal McNair – thinks that number 4 and number 99 are going to be part of the Houston Texans for a long time.
Him and who?
Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. That's what Cal McNair was alluding to.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, it's all about if they want to be there for the long run.
Yes. McNair, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, for instance, right, I think Carson Wentz, you know, they've said a report that they've heard calls from. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like I mentioned, you know, on social media, I think Rodgers is going to stay there long term in Green Bay. I think Wentz is going to stay there long term in Philly, because I think more of the Peterson and Wentz stuff was kind of, you know, once Peterson got fired, I think if Peterson stood there long term, I think Wentz would have asked out. I think teams are still calling him now, but I think that Wentz at the end of the day with a new coach is going to be like, all right, I'll stick around.
Yes, I think so too.
But I think for Darnold and Derek Carr, Trubisky, Fitzpatrick, those are a lot of the guys I think that, I mean, Derek Carr, I think, is more likely going to stay with
the Raiders.
I think, yeah, I think all in all, if Deshaun leaves, he has to get approval from the Texans. The Texans have already said that they don't want to trade him. So the biggest thing is, does Deshaun want to stick there? Are they going to basically hold him, basically keep him hostage, you know, for the long run? And I just don't know. With all his talent ability and where their team is, you know, moving forward, we'll see.
So basically, speaking of the Lions, I have them getting Ja'Marr Chase at 7 just because I want Devontae Smith going to Miami, and then Micah Parsons falling to the Philadelphia Eagles at 6 just because the Eagles need linebacker help. Just want to get that out there for you. But now let's grade the Jacksonville Jaguars higher, and they got Urban Meyer, who is, by the way, my early favorite to win the 2021 NFL Head Coach of the Year Award just because he's going to take this team from being worst to first. And I grade that an A+ for the Jags.
Yeah, I really like this hire. Meyer's been in the college for a long period of time. He knows how it's like. But he also knows, you know, working with a younger type of guy like a Lawrence is going to, you know, how he's going to do there. In Jacksonville, I think we talked about it in the past, but I think it's a very good, it's going to be very good together with them. I think there's not going to be a bunch of problems there. I think it's going to be a slow go at first, but I think that at the end of the day, I think that's those two are going to be a great combination together for the long run.
Are you talking about Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence?
Yep.
The thing is that the Jags have good offensive weapons like James Robinson. They have guys like DJ Chark. They have Tyler Eifert. That's pretty good right there. And then their offensive line is pretty good too. I could see Jacksonville actually get improving the interior offensive line for Lawrence.
But oh, definitely.
Their right and left tackles are fine.
Absolutely.
Especially with Juwan Taylor playing on the right side. You got AJ Cann. I think that they get another guard to kind of help protect Trevor Lawrence better.
Mm-hmm.
Especially getting guys like Cam Robinson, who I'm not sure if he's a free agent. I think Cam Robinson will stay in Jacksonville.
I think Jacksonville just needs a couple years away.
I'm talking about like who they're going to keep. Like, I think they're going to keep Cam Robinson. I think they'll keep mm-hmm. Dede Westbrook and Chris Connolly.
Yeah.
But they got guys like Chark, Chenault, and Eifert. But I think that this should be enough for Lawrence to have an easy transition in the National Football League.
Definitely. I think that if they keep a lot of these guys around, I really like what they're going to do together for the next several years. I really like it.
And I think what's his face? I think Gardner Minshew is going to be backing up Lawrence.
Who backing up Lawrence?
Gardner Minshew.
Ooh. I think Minshew will be an interesting guy for teams to take a look, at least calls for, too.
He's not really like a long-term answer, but I think he's a good backup. But that's not going to be Urban Meyer. That's not going to be Urban Meyer.
More of a serviceable.
I'm just saying that that's not going to be Urban Meyer's guy going forward.
Yeah.
So, basically, I expect the Jags to do big things in 2021, and I think they're my early favorite to win the AFC South. if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So now let's go to the LA Chargers. I give that an A to for them hiring Brandon Staley. I think he is a former quarterback that I think is going to do some things to help Justin Herbert improve on his game and also focus on the defensive side of the ball and special teams.
Yeah, I think this is a great fit. And the Chargers definitely are when they have a great, great offense with Herbert, of course, at the helm. So it was just all about the coach. Of course, Lynn just needed – and Lynn went to the Lions as an offensive coordinator. So I think for both sides, I think it's definitely great to see. I'll eat this higher for them, the Chargers. I'll give it an A+.
Absolutely. Now let's go to the New York Jets, the team that we don't like in our division, but they hit a home run on this hire. I really give this hire an A- for the Jets to hire Robert Saleh as their head coach. I think Robert Saleh is a guy that I think is going to turn around this Jets team with a new attitude, and he's a guy that is great defensively. I think the Jets are going to be so much better defensively and special teams. And I think Robert Saleh is going to do a good job calling plays defensively for the Jets, but I expect him to commit to Sam Darnold as his starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think that Darnold and Saleh are definitely going to have a good relationship together.
Was that?
I think they're going to have a very good relationship together, Robert Saleh and Sam Darnold.
Yes, they will, but he hasn't committed to him yet, but I expect him to commit to Sam Darnold because I don't expect the Jets to draft a quarterback at number two. I have them getting Penei Sewell in one of my draft picks, you know?
Yeah, Sewell, I think Sewell is a very good one.
No, because I have Sewell going to the Jets at two, and then I have and I also have the Jets getting Jalen Waddle at 23.
Interesting.
So that the Lions get Ja'Marr Chase at 7, they give him a weapon for Goff in Detroit, you know?
I like that for them, yeah.
And you give that an 8 for the Jets to hire Robert Saleh?
Oh, absolutely.
Even though we don't like the Jets, I can't wait to see him twice a year now as a Patriots fan because he's such a good coach. But you better not beat us. That's what I say, since Saleh's the head coach of the Jets now. Because that defense last year when the Niners played the Patriots in Foxborough last year, his defense owned Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
That's how good that defense of the Niners was without Bosa. But I think the Niners are in good hands next year.
Yep.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles hire with Nick Sirianni. I give that a B- because I feel like that he coming from the coaching tree with Frank Reich, I think Sirianni's going to do a great job with the Eagles and help save Carson Wentz's career in Philadelphia. But you know Jalen Hurts is going to go out there and compete for that starting job. But in the end, Carson Wentz is still going to be an Eagle, and he's going to start for the Eagles still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think this one's kind of, I'd say, like a B-, maybe like more of like in the C range. You know, the Eagles, of course, they're going through a lot right now. They really don't know. You know, Wentz, of course, probably will start, but they have a lot that they have to really, you know, worry about right now. So I think that when the Eagles, you know, hit the field for next season, you know, of course, they didn't make the playoffs this past year. Peterson, of course, is gone. So we will have to see where they go from here. But I think it's a fascinating hire.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think as long as, you know, Sirianni did not call plays for the Colts, it was Frank Reich. And even though that Philip Rivers retired, I still think the Colts are going to be a fantastic football team. And I really think that Jacob Eason, who they drafted in last year's draft, I think he's going to be their starting quarterback week 1. I expect him to, because I really think Frank Reich has found his guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people think the Colts should go out there and get a free, like, trade for a quarterback. I'm like, you know what? You shouldn't waste your money to do that just because I feel like the Colts have their quarterback of the future waiting in their hands in Jacob Eason.
Eason, I think, is going to be interesting. He came from, I believe, Washington. But I think...
Yes, Washington, and he also played for Georgia.
Yeah. I think the Colts are a very good fit for a lot of quarterbacks that are out there. They're in a dome-type place.
Here's what I could
see.
They
got a good offensive line.
Here's what I could see. Jacob Eason starting, and then you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick as his backup.
Ooh, I like that.
Because I could see Fitzpatrick backing up Eason, or I see him backing up Herbert in L.A. with the Chargers.
I definitely like that situation. We'll have to find out.
Because I think I don't want to see Fitzpatrick on the Patriots just because I want a veteran backup to back up Mac Jones, who I expect the Patriots to draft at 15.
I definitely want Fitzmagic in New England if he's a backup.
You mean, don't you want Mac Jones to start for the Patriots?
I'd be interested. I'd be definitely interested in Mac Jones.
Yeah, so you give the Eagles a kind of a C plus in that range in their hire for Nick Sirianni?
Yeah.
So let's go to the GMs. So let's start with the Atlanta Falcons hire. They got Terry Fontenot from the Saints, and I think he's going to do a great job with the Atlanta Falcons in that roster. So what grade do you give Terry Fontenot as the GM of the Atlanta Falcons?
I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to get that team ready to go for many years.
Is that an A-plus for you?
Yeah, at least a solid A.
And what about the Carolina Panthers hire? They hired Scott Fitner from the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to work with he was known for drafting players such as I read about Marty Herney. Fitner is going to be the GM of the Carolina Panthers, and I think that's a C or a B plus on that end, just because I feel like Carolina is still a couple years away from being really good. I think they're going to get a quarterback. I think they're going to go with Justin Fields, and I think that he knows that Teddy Bridgewater is in danger of losing his job.
I think so, too. I think Carolina could very well have a different quarterback next year.
So do you give that hire for that GM an A or a B or a C?
Probably a B.
Let's go to the Denver Broncos hire. They hired George Patton as their GM, and John Elway is going to be still part of the Denver Broncos, but he's going to be president of football operations for the Denver Broncos. So what do you think of that hire, and do you think that's a B-plus on that hire or an A?
Probably B-plus. I think the Broncos are definitely fit for the long-term future. They just have to see.
Don't you think – do you think that Drew Lock is their quarterback of the future?
I do.
Absolutely, 100%. I think he is.
Yep.
So now let's go to the Detroit Lions hire. So what grade do you give George Patton?
Probably a solid B, being honest.
That's what I'd do too. I think he was great in Minnesota, and I think he's going to do great. He's going to do a good job in Denver. And let's go to the Detroit Lions. So they have Brad Holmes as now their next GM. Do you give that a C or a D or a B?
Probably C plus.
I'm with you on that as well. So let's go to the Houston Texans. They hired our guy, Nick Caserio, as the next GM of the Houston Texans. Worked for the Patriots for so many years, and I think Nick Caserio is going to be a great GM. Do you give that a B or an A-minus for the Houston Texans hiring Nick Caserio?
Probably B-minus.
And coming from the New England Patriots, do you think Nick Caserio is going to do a good job drafting for the Texans?
I do.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him in New England, but you know what? I feel like that they have other good people in the front office that could really – that knows how to draft and all that.
I definitely agree. He's going to be definitely somebody that will be missed, but they'll have somebody ready to go.
What about the Jacksonville Jaguars hiring Trent Baalke? I give that a B plus here. I think Trent Baalke is a great GM.
Yep.
What grade do you give that hire for Trent Baalke?
Probably B.
Yeah, I think he worked with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, and then he's now working with Urban Meyer.
Yep.
And then the Washington football team, they hired their own Martin Mayhew, who used to play for the Washington football team. I give that an A+ because Martin Mayhew knows Washington football, and I think he's going to do a fantastic job constructing that roster.
Yeah, I give him an A. I think he's very solid.
Now let's talk about our keys to Super Bowl 55. So let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what they need to do to win the game. I think you got to give the ball to Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones more than 20 touches. I mean, that's what they need. Tom Brady throwing 5 touchdown passes over 500 yards needs to cut down on the interception rate. And also for the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you got to make life harder for Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce.
You basically got everything I was going to say. I mean, you got to make it, you got to make them earn the points. It's the biggest thing. You got to, the offense for the Buccaneers has to be in sync. The Chiefs' offense has to be in sync on their end. And defensively, whoever makes more stops, I think, wins the game.
Yes, and then let me talk about the Chiefs, what they need to do to win. Get off to a fast start. You know, Mahomes likes to extend plays. And I think that Chiefs' offensive line will still have enough to make that defense look bad because that's what Kansas City's known to doing. Andy Reid's a great offensive play caller and an offensive-minded head coach. Because really, Andy Reid is the one that calls plays for Mahomes, and he is a good play caller for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Andy Reid's a great, great offensive-minded coach. That'll be in there for a while.
And also, the thing is, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce got a catch and receive for over 100 yards, and I think that the Chiefs defense just got to make life harder on Tom Brady. They got to hit him hard. They got to hit him more than once or maybe 5 times for the Chiefs defense to win this game. But at the same time, let me tell you this. Tom Brady in his last 2 games against Steve Spagnuolo's defenses led by Steve Spagnuolo, he has an 0-2 record with Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, Spagnuolo's had his number, right? So
that's something to keep an eye out on. Steve Spagnuolo having Brady's number.
Very interesting.
And I think that could still happen. What were you saying?
Spagnuolo is definitely somebody that has given Brady problems in the past, but I think he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, so that being said, Ben, enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. We'll see everybody next week for Super Bowl 55 recap and also take a look ahead in the offseason. Way too early Super Bowl predictions for Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles, early division winners for 2021, and also which coaches are in danger of coaching for their jobs next season. So stay tuned for that show. And then also we'll take a little break after that. And then whenever the free agents, whenever in March, we'll pick up back again to talk about the free agent stuff and all that good stuff.
Sounds good, man. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday.